In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the Advent and Christmas seasons this year, we are having a sermon series on the 12 blessings of Christmas. The first 9 of these blessings are from St. Paul's list in Galatians of the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This morning we are looking at the first 2 fruits of the Spirit, love and joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is probably no accident that God arranged world history in such a way that the New Testament would be written in Greek. A list of the world's greatest philosophers begins with the Greeks, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. The Greeks laid the philosophical foundations of our culture, and the Greek language is the language of philosophy, uniquely suited to communicate to humanity the profound teachings of the New Testament. A prime example is the word love. While in English we have just 1 word for this emotion, Greek has 4 distinct different words for different types and aspects of love: erao, phileo, stergo, and agape. Erao is sexual love, from which we get erotic. The word erao does not occur in the New Testament, but that does not mean that sexual love is wrong or sinful. Within the marriage relationship of man and woman as husband and wife, sexual love is a part of God's plan, a good gift and a blessing from God. Genesis reports, male and female he created them, and then just a few verses later says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Phileo and stergo are the Greek words for brotherly love, friendship, and fondness. These are the words that we would use on those bumper stickers with a heart, where we proclaim, I love some kind of thing. Phileo and stergo don't occur very much in the New Testament. One example is in Romans, where Paul says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What these first 3 categories of love, erao, phileo, and stergo, have in common is that they represent love motivated by self-interest. What's in it for me? Love that you show either because others have earned it and deserved it from you, or because you expect by showing such love to get something back which benefits you. St. Paul says in Colossians, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. We have done nothing to earn or deserve God's love. Because of our sin, we instead deserve only God's wrath and damnation. As St. Paul says in Romans, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men. But the good news is, Greek has a 4th word for love. The word used most to describe love in the New Testament, agape. Agape is a word we don't really have an equivalent for in English. It means, first of all, an undeserved love. A love which you have not earned or have a right to expect. A love which is given to you, not because of who you are or what you have done, but because of who the one loving you is. Because showing love is that person's very nature. St. John expresses this aspect of agape when he says, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. For God is love. We humans have a tendency to love the lovable, to show our love to those who earn it in some way. But even though your sins deserve not his love, but his wrath and anger, because God is love, because undeserved love, agape, is God's very nature, he shows love to you. Agape is undeserved love, and it is also self-sacrificial love. Love which shows itself in action, giving up oneself for the sake of others. St. John tells us the action God took to show his agape, his self-sacrificial love toward us. This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we may live through him. He loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. St. Paul puts it this way in Romans: God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, "My command is this: love one another as I have loved you." We respond to God's agape, God's undeserved, self-sacrificial, forgiving love toward us by showing agape, undeserved, self-sacrificial, forgiving love toward others. As St. John says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Recently, a woman wrote to Dear Abby, "There is an annoying woman in my office who insists on telling people to smile. She expects everyone to go around with permanent grins on their faces for no reason." Some people think that's what Christian joy means: going around with a permanent grin for no reason. But Christian joy and our Christmas joy isn't just putting on a plastic smile and pretending everything's great. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." If all Christianity means is that you gloss over your troubles with a thin veneer of phony happiness, you are to be pitied more than all men. St. Paul says in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Christian joy is joy in the Lord, on account of all the Lord has done for you, all the earthly blessings he bestows on you, but especially his spiritual blessings of forgiveness, salvation, eternal life in his Son, Jesus Christ. As Isaiah says, "Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." Rejoice and be glad this Christmas, for your sins are all forgiven on account of the babe of Bethlehem. St. Paul says in Romans that this good news of salvation in Christ and the hope of eternal life gives us joy even in the midst of this life's struggles. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." The angel proclaimed to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That is the reason for our Christian joy and our Christmas joy. good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born a Savior, your Savior. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen.